Okay. Well, if I could have you open with me to Matthew chapter 18. I'm just going to be reading the first four verses. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Let's pray. Father, we want to be changed. We want to know you more, and we need your help. Help us, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, first to examine the disciples here. At the beginning, we see the disciples as they usually are. You know, it's easy to think that the disciples, oh, here they are once again, floundering about, you know, flopping around. How arrogant. I mean, what a thought. You know, they're there with God in man form, and they're worried, they're debating with one another. Who's going to be the greatest? And it's so easy to look at that and think, man, that's so arrogant. Like, how could you stoop so low? But the reality is how often do we do some of the same things in our own lives? I mean, think about it. It doesn't take a whole lot of imagination to think about the arguments that they were making with one another, trying to prove their greatness, to prove that they were the best. You know, I've seen this thing that no one else has, or I've done this, or I've said this, or I kept count and I cast out the most demons. You know, surely I'm the greatest. And we can see that and go, well, I've never said that. I've never tried to convince people I was the greatest, but the reality is how subtly this can creep into our minds. You know, it could just be a child crying and that thought comes in, man, why don't they just take them out? I would have taken the child out if it was my child. I mean, look at my children. They're so well behaved. And it could so quickly and just like that, you're comparing yourself and your life to another brother or sister. Just like that. That fast. You may not say the words, but you're essentially saying you're better than they are. You're trying to convince yourself that you are better off than they are, no matter the circumstance. But then we see in Mark's account, Mark 9:33, and they came to Capernaum, and you don't have to turn there. When they entered the house, he asked them, What were you discussing on the way? But they kept silent, for on the way they were arguing who was going to be the greatest. And now imagine, take this one step farther, put yourself in their shoes. Imagine you just had that thought. You just entertained that thought about you in some way or another. Oh man, I'm so glad I didn't say what that person said. Or you know how subtly it can happen even in the prayer meeting. You think, oh man, I'm so glad I don't pray like that person. Or man, I heard so many people amen to my prayer. And just like that, imagine the Lord slides into the pew next to you. What were you just saying to yourself? What were you just thinking? What was that thought? Share it with the rest of us. How many of us would keep our mouths shut in the exact same way? And if we decided to open our mouths, how it would show the pride that's really down deep inside of us. The self-reliance, the self-confidence. And ultimately, that's going to be one of my biggest points today is trying to address self-confidence in our own lives. So the reality is this is something that we need to be careful of. But what's the remedy? So, here in the text, we see Christ providing the solution. And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom." Now, if we stop right there, we realize Christ is putting an incredible amount of importance upon this. You can't read this and say, oh, this is one of those things where, you know, it's debatable. It's kind of take it or leave it. You know, oh yeah, I kind of want to be childlike. I see the advantages, but today, you know, I got work that needs to be done. Christ is saying, you're not entering the kingdom. This is not debatable. This is not something that we can decide we just want to do without for a time. This is something that we have to have. In his own words, the Lord is essentially stopping us and saying, this is of the utmost importance, life and death, in and out, black and white. There is no in between here. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So now, real quickly, what I'd like to do is simply analyze what a child is like. What does this mean? What does this look like in our day-to-day lives? Well, what characterizes children is absolute weakness. I mean, when we think of a child, we're not talking about a preteen. We're talking about like 3 years old. I mean, barely learning to walk. Absolutely weak. Absolutely helpless. I mean, think about a child out in the parking lot. You know, they're running across the parking lot and they fall. They skin their knee. They see their knee. And they cry for their parents. It's that reflex instinct. They cry out. They cry and they won't stop crying until their parents attend to them. A child is hungry. It feels the need inside of itself and it cries out to the parents. It runs there. A child is scared. It immediately seeks the arms of its loving parents. It knows it won't be denied. It runs to the parents. It's the reflex of every child to want their parents at the drop of a hat whenever there's a need. I do want to quickly note that Christ isn't saying that children are some kind of angels that are to be imitated. I mean, any of you that have children, you know that it takes discipline. You have to discipline your children. They come out of the womb sinners. The reality here is that Christ is pinpointing on the helplessness and the neediness of a child. The disciples here had their eyes not on Christ, but on themselves. They were focusing on their own achievements, their own works, their own good, the things that they had done. They were so self-confident, and Christ is saying, you need to turn your eyes off of yourself and turn them on to me. The reality is, I mean, I can think back to times when, as a child, I can attest to this in my own life. You know, if there was a thunderstorm, as a child, I didn't sit there and reason with myself, oh, you know, according to my calculations, the probability of the lightning coming through these walls and hitting me is incredibly low, so I shouldn't really be afraid. No, we all know that as a child, if there was a thunderstorm or a bad dream, we're running to the parents. It's that reflex instinct that Christ wants to see in his disciples, and he wants to see in us as well. It's that need, that desperate need that when we see we're helpless, we're useless to help ourselves, that we run to the parents. I mean, my parents, it didn't matter if it was 2 a.m. in the morning. I could have a bad dream or, you know, I'm feeling sick. I feel nauseous. They could have the door closed. I'm coming in. There was nothing that was going to stop me. They could lock the door and I'd be there knocking with the kind of aggression that told them I'm not going away. I'm going to knock until somebody in there gets the idea that I'm staying until they come. I'm seeking them out until they come. That's what the Lord wants here. That's what he wants to show us. This is the key. This is the key here to nearness with the Lord. It's getting to the place where we realize that we are needy and we're helpless to meet our own needs. Brethren, the reality is that self-confidence is at the root of so much wrong in our lives. Self-confidence is the very thing that will lead this church to having prayer meetings that are small and dry. It'll dry up your prayer life. Because if you don't see that need, where's the desperation going to come from in your seeking for the Lord? Fasting just becomes, it just becomes a chore. Abiding in Christ just becomes something, I know I have to do it, but it just becomes something that you don't really desire. Brethren, we need to ask the Lord to give us this neediness, to show us the neediness that is already there. Brethren, I hope that this stirs you the way that it has for me. Because when I look at this, it shows me that there's so much more to be had in Christ. There's so much more that we have. There's so much more to be had than we have now. I mean, this goes for everyone here. From the Christian that was born again yesterday to the elders that have been saved 30 years, there's more. There's more to be had in Christ. If we'll simply humble ourselves like this child, ask the Lord to show us our desperate neediness. Brethren, we can run so much faster than we're running now. If we would simply let Christ take the reins, we could be running so much faster. And the reason this is so important is because God's glory is at stake. This isn't something that we just get to flounder about in this life and then hope for the best. We've been given a mission. We're children of God. That should mean something to you, is that God's glory is our reason for living. It's our reason for being here. I mean, don't you want to be like Jacob? You know, your eyes are cast upon the Lord and you take hold, and I mean, your hip could be out of joint. You say, Lord, I won't let you go till you bless me. I won't let you go until I know your nearness. I won't let you go till you save my children. I mean, brother, don't you want that? Isn't that what we want as children of God? We need to know the desperation of our situation, especially here in the United States. I mean, it's so easy for us to rely on the gifts rather than the giver. You know, I mean, not many of you here are really doubting that your car is going to start later on today. You know, we just leave. There's so many things we take for granted. The car is going to start. The AC in this building is going to keep going. The chair is going to hold you. You know, there's still going to be the food in the fridge that was there when you left. We're not really worried that when we get home, we might find our stuff pillaged and cast out into the street. You know, I think about Dan Sem. We're not really worried that somebody is out there loosening the lug nuts on our tires right now, and that as we're driving home, the wheel might come off. We're not worried that a bomber so much is going to run in here and blow us all up. But see, that's why, brethren, we need that neediness so much more here. Over there, it's staring them in the face. They see it on a day-to-day basis, that neediness, that desperation, that life and death reality. But here, the enemy just wants to lull us to sleep. That's not really that bad, you know? It's not really that severe. Sure, pray for your kids, but I mean, ultimately, you just have to rely on the sovereignty of God, right? Like, just, it's not that bad. But it is. We need to know more of our desperation, more of our neediness for the Lord. Christ suffered to earn this privilege for us, brethren. He suffered so that we can storm the kingdom of heaven. Not so that we can walk around like spiritual infants our whole lives, like spiritual paupers, spiritual beggars. He suffered and died so that we can be spiritually rich, so that we can know Him, so that we can know His nearness. Not so that we mope around kind of aimlessly in this life and then get there on that last day and our Lord have to go, man, you could have gone so much farther. There was so much there that I gave for you. If you would have just surrendered your will, if you would have just humbled yourself before me, if you would have just given yourself over. I mean, brethren, we read the words of Christ. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And it's so easy to read that, you know, and just tell others that we believe it. We pray it in our prayers, Lord, you know, apart from you, we can do nothing. But are we living lives that really reflect that? Do we have prayer lives that really reflect somebody who believes, apart from God, I can't get out of bed this morning. Apart from God, I can't drive this car. Apart from God, I'm not going to make it to church. I'm not going to make it through my work day. Brethren, we need to know this neediness. I mean, above all else, we need to beg God to show us this neediness, because the reality is that it is this neediness, seeing this neediness and our helplessness that creates this passion. It creates this desire, which then produces the earnest seeking, which the Lord has promised always to honor. Well, we need to acknowledge, brethren, I mean, James 4:8, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. We need to understand that God is so much more willing to draw near to us than we are to draw near to Him. We need to see this neediness. We need this earnest seeking. And this goes for the lost and saved alike. If you're lost here today, don't think this excuses you just because I'm mainly addressing the saved. You need to see your neediness just as much, more so perhaps, because your life is in the balance. Your soul is in the balance. As our brother was just saying, though, there's grace. There's grace enough for all of your sin. But you need to lower your guard, surrender your will, see your neediness for the Lord. Oh, brethren, I mean, we see examples of this time and time again in Scripture. We see that the blind men that the Lord healed, they had to get to that point where they saw their desperate need and Christ is the only answer. We see Jairus and his daughter, that desperation, the crippled man who was lowered through the roof, the lepers who weren't even supposed to be in the midst of the people, and yet they still came. They saw the Lord and they sought Him until they got what they desired. The centurion in the same way. That desperation, that neediness, and that helpless to do anything for ourselves. Brethren, everyone gets as much of the Lord as they want. We really need to believe that. He is so much more ready to come to us than we are to go to Him. Just why we need this neediness. I mean, think about the change it could make in this church. If all of us went out of here with nothing more than just a desire. If I could leave you with just this desire to seek the Lord and ask Him to show you more of your desperate neediness for Him, it could change your life for the rest of your life. I mean, it could bring about such nearness to the Lord, such love for the Lord, such a zeal for the Lord, a greater jealousy for His glory. And in terms of motivation, I mean, that's it, brethren. We're here to glorify God. We've been brought into this race because of the blood of the Lamb. Why would we want to run at half mass or half pace? Now, having been saved by Christ, why would we want to come in and just kind of mosey about? We want to run all out for Christ, brethren. We want to give our all for Christ. Give to Christ your all. We need to see our neediness in order to produce this earnestness and our desire to have more of Christ. Brethren, just in closing, Christ here, when they ask Him, you know, he doesn't bat them across the head and go, what's wrong with you guys? What do you mean, who's going to be the greatest? Why would you even be thinking that way? That's not what He says. He says there's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You're just going about it in the wrong way. I mean, think about it. When the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up and she asked, give me this one thing that my sons would sit at your left hand and your right hand. Christ didn't go, that's outrageous. That doesn't exist. He simply said, oh, that exists, but that's not for me to give. There's a way to get there. There are no shortcuts. Brethren, we need to know this. We need to be like this child. Understand our absolute helplessness. To take all of our self-confidence and to bring it before the Lord and ask Him to break our pride. Well, let's pray. Father, it's true. Apart from you, we can do nothing. But I ask, Lord, that you would set that reality deeper into all of our hearts. No matter what stage of this walk we're in, Lord, we always need more of you. We always need less of self. We always need our eyes fixated more on Christ. We always need more of that nearness. Please, Father, do a work in us today. Don't leave us as we are. Don't leave us to ourselves. Please change us. It's in Christ's name and for His glory I ask. Amen.